Hello and welcome to this week's Inside Education. Our website is insideed.com, where you can listen to or download podcasts of all previous Inside Education programs. I'm Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so. On this week's programme, we look at the topic of economics teaching. Although the economy has become a topic of conversation in all kinds of settings, it's even the subject of a festival now each year in Kilkenny, it remains a subject that is taken by only a minority of students at Leaving Certificate level. Later in the programme, I'll be speaking to Derek Lynch, who is the Secretary of the Business Studies Teachers Association of Ireland, about what it's like to teach and study economics for the Leaving Certificate. But first, I visited the third Kilkenomics Festival, which took place last weekend in Kilkenny, and spoke to economist David McWilliams about teaching economics. David McWilliams writes weekly economics columns in the Sunday Business Post and the Irish Independent. His best-selling books include The Pope's Children, The Generation Game and Follow the Money. His latest book is called The Good Room. One of the first sessions at Kilkenomics was Junior Kilkenomics for Leaving Cert students. So when I met up with David McWilliams, I first asked him what he did at Junior Kilkenomics to make economics interesting for Leaving Cert students.
We try to look at the Leaving Cert paper and tell them that there's much more to economics than just what they're learning in school. But what we did was we used brilliant students from the Loreto Mullingar, and they themselves put together a presentation on why economics is interesting. And there were four girls in fifth year and sixth year. And they were outstanding in saying, making the case for economics. Because my overwhelming urge is to try and get as many people into the subject as possible. And by that I mean try and get as many teenagers doing economics as possible, and also maybe having an influence on what I see as a very staid and not particularly relevant exam, the Leaving Cert. So we kind of, the idea is to kind of reach out to teachers and markers and the Department of Education and say, this is important, why don't we make it a bit more fun? Because it is fun, economics is good laugh.
And what is the case for learning economics at post-primary school level?
I think the case is the crash. I think the most outstanding evidence for why Irish people should bone up on a subject like economics is the trauma that we're now experiencing from not having been economically literate enough, as a general rule, and people not being able to have seen through what was in effect some kind of snake oil salesman routines, particularly in the property market. So that's, I think that's the case. But also, much more interestingly, economics is about the business of everyday life. It's about what we do. Every decision we take has got an economic dimension in it. And the interesting thing about the economy, it's only the aggregation of thousands and millions of little decisions we all make added together to make one big decision. So I think ultimately what we have is a very, very important subject, not necessarily that well considered by the education system. And I think the case is open and shut.
And what are the key lessons or the key ideas that students need to learn when studying economics?
Well, the key ideas are that everything matters. And by that I mean that every single decision you take has an amplified impact on people beside you. The way I look at it, it's a bit like going to a gig, for example, in a theatre, and not being able to see very well, so you stand up to try and see better. But you standing up on your own means you will see better, but the people behind you won't see better. So what happens is you stand up in row one, and then the people in row two stand up, and row three, and row four. And ultimately what happens is we all stand up with the same poor view as we had when we were sitting down, but we get sore feet. So by that I mean the economy works in the same way. Every single decision you take has an impact on somebody else, and you don't even know about it. It's what I'd call, what economists call the paradox of aggregation. That what is good for the individual is not necessarily good for the community. And what is good for the community is a reflection of individual choices all put up together. So if you take the view, for example, that what is good for the individual, as in standing up, is not necessarily good for the community, as in all standing up, it begins, I think, the process of understanding that economics is actually a counterintuitive pursuit. And you've got to teach people not to think intuitively, but actually the opposite, to think counterintuitively.
But you also need to have very sound data for the kind of thinking that's necessary. Where can Leaving Cert students get the kind of data that they need? Because it's very hard to think beyond themselves at that age.
Well, I believe that data is overemphasized. I think ideas are much more important. And usually what will happen is the data should be seen to support the ideas. What I've always felt is that data can be driven and can be used as a battering ram to bully people into not thinking. And you see that quite a lot. So you see open and shut data cases, which actually, if you have any econometric background, as in mathematical background, if you peer a little bit deeper at the equation, you'll see has been set up to prove a point. So I think there is a... I have a, not a fear of, but a healthy suspicion of statistics. And I was listening to the head of Google, Eric Schmidt, talking last week in America, and he was saying that in God we trust, and everybody else has to bring data. And that by that he mean that everything has to be proven. But some things can't be proven.
But isn't there a contradiction there in what you're saying, in that if...
There's always a contradiction in what I'm saying, you know.
Well, but that if students are meant to... That everything matters for economics,
yeah.
But then what exactly should they pay attention to in order to formulate their ideas?
Okay, well, I mean, you know, the big macroeconomic stuff is unemployment and inflation and retail sales, credit, money supply, all these sort of figures, all of which are readily available either at the central bank's website or the CSO's website. So the data is there. And I think that Ireland, I mean, some statistics or statisticians would say we're quite behind other countries, particularly the United States, which is statistics for everything and really interesting statistics for everything. But I think we're doing okay for an OECD country. And I think the CSO does a very good job. I think it's done in the last few years a much better job. The presentation of this year's census was outstanding, even by international standards. And this is the sort of stuff I like. I like CSO data and population data. That's what interests me, because I like to apply economics to the way we live today. And that's, I suppose, what my books are about and a lot of the documentaries I make and Kilkenomics is about, really.
So if we go into a classroom then, in your view, what does a good economics lesson look like?
Well, I think you've got to start with the basic idea that teaching is what is done to you. Learning is what you do for yourself. So you've got to begin the process of opening children's minds to learn, not necessarily to digest information. So you must start by asking lots and lots of personal questions, lots of familial questions, and lots of questions about the world they perceive around them. You should ask them how they believe. For example, you take Facebook. Most Leaving Cert students will go in and they will be told one thing, that economics is the science of scarcity, of scarce resources, where you have to make choices because the market is always scarce. And then you will look at the very same children and they will be using Facebook, which is actually the economics of abundance, that there is no limit to the market. There's no limit to the connections they can make. And you're actually telling them something is real when they know deep down it's not. And they know deep down that their world is a world of abundance. So do you see what I mean? You've got to really get into the, you know, I look at my own children. And I find the education system, what I dislike about the education system in Ireland is it punishes a certain type of intelligence and rewards another type of intelligence, which leads to a terrible situation in Ireland where many, many brilliant Irish people are walking around today and they don't think they're brilliant because the education system punished their way of thinking. And maybe even more egregiously for the country, many actually rather stupid people are walking around thinking they're clever, because the education system rewarded their certain linear, vertical way of thinking. So my view on the education system is that it... How many people do you know, for example, now as you get a wee bit older, who might say to you, do you know what, I hated school. I couldn't stand school. But I always believe it wasn't that they hated school, but school hated them. And the method of teaching it hated them, because it was a classical way of teaching built on rote learning, built on... I mean, take a very interesting example. You know the way kids are told they can't copy from each other? But in real life, we call that collaboration. It's what we do all the time. You know what I mean? These are basic ideas. So maybe the challenge is to address some of those issues.
Okay, but if you do it, you say, okay, so you move then and you take the economics of abundance. What's the where does the learning come in then for the students? You know, I mean, I can imagine, say, a teacher kind of saying, oh yeah, we're going to Facebook, a great idea, that'll get them interested.
Yeah.
But where's the learning?
Well, then you'd say, okay, well, you're on Facebook because it is abundant, but the economics of scarcity are when it comes to the credit in your particular phone to allow you the facility to the 3G to get onto. So you have to get into their world and say, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, I look at my daughter, she's obsessed with credit on her phone. That's her world, right? Facebook, credit, all that stuff. So you say, okay, darling, now let's look at this through a theoretical idea. That the credit is scarcity, but the Facebook is abundance, and we're trying to match them all the time. These sort of things. I don't think that's not that difficult, is it?
So if you're advising a teacher then who wants to go in and teach an economics lesson tomorrow and wants to liven up their teaching a bit, what would you say to them?
You've got to, and I teach an economics course, I've actually set up an economics academy because I believe so many people have learned economics terribly. And I always go in and I just use whatever real life examples are coming from the day, you know. I mean, now we're blessed because there's so many real life examples. But I think the teacher has to break away from the tyranny, if they can, of the syllabus and begin the process of opening the minds of the children rather than closing the minds. I believe the syllabus is set up to close minds rather than open them. And I think that's a worthy, almost quasi-evangelical mission to have, to open up people's minds.
So is it that the syllabus is emphasising the theory, but that's what's missing is the connecting that to people's lives?
For example, this country has gone through the most traumatic economic boom and bust crash cycle. Has the Leaving Cert paper changed? No. And how bizarre is that?
So how should it change?
It should change to reflect what's happened in the country. So don't say people are rational, say they're irrational. The start of the tear up the Leaving Cert syllabus and say, people are not rational. Because you know what? Rational people wouldn't have followed each other off the cliff in the property market. They would have done the opposite. JP Morgan has a great expression that nothing so undermines your economic judgment as the sight of your neighbour getting rich. And this, I believe, should be the fundamental element for you, the starting point for everything, to say, do you know what? People aren't rational. So rather than give the kid marks for describing a world that doesn't exist, give the kid marks for describing a world that exists.
How young do you think children can be introduced to economics at school?
Really,
in school?
Really young. I think they could be introduced. I don't see why they aren't taught economics like the way they're taught geography, you know, in fifth class in school. And then you start that process. And it's really simple stuff. And you start with your credit or your football, you know, the economics of Chelsea, let's say, for example. So you've got my little boy runs around with his Chelsea rig out. Wouldn't it be great to explain to him that Frank Lampard's wages are paid by Russian workers who are mining tin? And explain to him how it all happens, where the money comes from, and Abramovich, and all that sort of stuff. And suddenly he gets a world picture of, oh, wow, that's how it all works.
So how can an economics teacher then beef up their own knowledge? And supposing because they came through a system themselves where this was all how do they up their game to get this creativity into their teaching?
We all came through the system. I've been really blessed by meeting people subsequent to school. I had a very nice and very good economics teacher in school, a guy called Greg O'Connor, who I haven't laid eyes on for years, but he was a wonderful, wonderful economics teacher. And just a good, fun bloke, you know, all around, as a teacher, you know, a person you liked and a person you respected. But I think, you know, and I'm from a family of teachers, so I've got the gene, I've got the weakness. I think that we've all come through the system. I've been really lucky in having worked with wonderfully open-minded people over the last 10 or 15 years who have shown me different ways of thinking. So maybe I'm an unusual case in that regard. I've just been blessed by exposure to others. But I think that teachers should really think about what they're trying to teach. You know, let's start. I mean, for example, in this new book of mine, The Good Room, one of the most interesting examples I got was from Paddy Power's bookmakers. I went up to their quantitative team in Clonskee and tried to prove something I felt was case, which is Irish people are not rational. We're so irrational, we put more money on Irish horses, even if the odds are worse in race meetings, because the horses are Irish. And it turns out to be the case. We bet 28% more money on Irish horses than any other horses. Totally irrational, but totally understandable.
And how do you sustain your own thinking then and economics?
I rob off other people. You rob off people. You know, it's I remember somebody said, I think it was one of the great comedians, is if you're gonna rob off the best. So I try to read the best, and I try to read really good stuff on the web and stuff from the States. I'm fascinated by American thinkers.
But it's in part of the skill to be able to identify the best from all the rubbish that's on the internet.
Yeah, well, that's usually I have a good network of what I would call spotters, friends of mine who think a wee bit like me and would say, okay, read that guy, that's interesting, or read this guy, this is interesting, or this woman, or whatever. So, you know, I'm unusual in the sense I have a passion for it.
So maybe economics teachers need that kind of a network that will actually put them on to...
I'd be happy to give it to them. I'm on my website, davidmcwilliams.ie. You can read all sorts of weird stuff, and some of it's good, some of it's bad, but you be the decision, the judge of that. But this is a mission, and missions take a long, long time to achieve, and sometimes you don't even achieve them in your own lifetime, but you influence enough people that they achieve it.
You've talked about setting up an exhibition, like the Young Scientist exhibition.
Yeah,
tell us a bit about that.
I don't know if it's a great idea, but it's an obvious idea that what we will do is we'll try to set up over the course of the next year, and I hope to talk to economic teachers who've been really, really supportive, it must be said, a competition of sorts. I'm not too sure what it'll look like, but it'll germinate in my head over the course of the next few weeks. For young economics graduates, and when I say graduate students, like people doing finished the junior cert, going to the lead cert, to present an economic proposition or make an economic discovery in their own backyard. And like the Young Scientist exhibition, we create the Young Economist Conference in order to, here at Kilconomics, in order to find the Young Economist of the Year. And the prize for that will be a number of things, but one of them will be working as an intern in my company so that they get exposed straight away to real-life economics, creative economics, books, documentaries, speeches, articles, all that sort of stuff.
So would this be things like somebody might develop an alternative budget, for example, for the country for a year?
Yeah, exactly that sort of stuff. Okay. And I think it'd be very exciting.
And what kind of criteria would you use for judging?
It's just a notion. It's like Kilconomics was a notion. It was like writing books was a notion. You know, the Pope's Children, the last one, the Good Room was a notion. It's just a notion at this stage, but we'll figure it out.
And why do you think it's necessary?
It's not that it's necessary. The world won't end if you don't do it. But I just think it's an additional interesting idea. Like the Young Scientists, you know, it's not necessary. But what it is interesting, and it creates a culture of learning early. I believe if we can create a generation of economically literate people in the course of the next decade, we will not repeat the mistakes of the last decade. And I think that's a goal worth striving for.
Your new book, The Good Room, has the story of a teacher threaded through its chapters. Do you think that the career of teaching is a bellwether for the effects of austerity on our society?
Oh, I'm not too sure a bellwether, but I think it's significant that what... You can see in every staff room that the staff room are split between young and old teachers. The older teachers are by and large wealthy and the young teachers are by and large poor. And by poor, I mean they're in debt. So if you start with the basic premise that if your assets are worth less than your liabilities, you're poor, then you're poor. The teachers are poor. I think that the reason I started with a teacher is because teachers are the interface, the coalface between the family and the system through the child, and they are, in my opinion, the most important subsector of the society. But they are not without guilt in protecting their own position of late. I was very disappointed to see the reaction of the teachers' unions to the proposals about the junior cert changing it, because if the agents of change, the teachers, are not receptive to change, then what the hell hope do we have? But I located... The hero of the book, Olivia Vickers, is a teacher. And that was done because I know a lot of teachers of that age and also because I can see that they are caught in a negative equity trap for which, for many of them, there's no obvious way out.
Why did you study economics yourself at college?
I kind of fell into it. I fall into most things and I kind of fell into it. I went to do a thing called ESS, Economics and Social Science. I think it's called BESS now. In Trinity. And after about a year, I realized all the business stuff really bored me. But the economic stuff was kind of interesting. I think it was because it's counterintuitive, because it was actually a little bit more, I don't want to sound like a pretentious gift, but it was more intellectually challenging. You know, it's like, oh my God, this is... And what I love history, and economic history sparked an interest in me. And then in actual fact, an economist from Kilkenny, who we have a memorial lecture to every weekend here when we
come back. Ray Crotty.
Yeah. He taught me statistics, and I read his books, and then I was hooked. So Ray Crotty, who is up in the International Economist Cookhouse in the sky now. He was the one who sparked an interest in thinking about the economy in a certain way.
And why do you think more students don't do economics for the Leaving Cert? Like, if you think
it's hard. It's hard. Economics is made difficult by failed mathematicians. I always believe that what is complicated is rarely important, and what is important is rarely complicated. And when I see economics, when I see good students being repelled by bad mathematics, it annoys me.
But isn't that because you are a born communicator, and not everybody is able to communicate complex ideas in the way that you can?
Yeah, we're all communicators, all of us, in our own way. And I believe that every single student is brilliant, and every single person has something inside them that is so unique and so special. And it behoves us as adults in the society to try and liberate that in our children all the time, because I believe that you've no idea how brilliant humans are. And because of the education system, many, many thousands of brilliant people are walking around and they've never seen that. It's never been discovered. It's never been allowed bloom inside them. And I believe it might sound very, very idealistic and very optimistic, but I believe that if we can shift the education system towards, in economics, for example, finding that brilliant bit inside all students, then we'll be a better society.
And that was economist David McWilliams. You're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Podcasts of previous programmes can be downloaded from iTunes or from our website insideed.com. Next, I spoke about teaching economics to Derek Lynch, who is the Honorary Secretary of the Business Studies Teachers Association of Ireland. Derek Lynch is a teacher of economics at Sing Street CBS. I first asked him if the Leaving Certificate syllabus is really as outdated as David McWilliams suggests it is.
Well, the macro side is probably outdated, but economics, as we have to respect, is a social science that's always evolving.
You use the word macro there. What can you just, in the context of economics, what does macro refer to?
Well, macro refers to systems, whereas micro looks at the individual unit, whereas macro is looking at systems. For example, you know, centrally planned and free enterprise, that kind of, the study of systems. So I suppose as the way the economy and the world economy is changing, it's very hard for a syllabus to change as quickly and as rapid as economies do. But in fairness to teachers in the classroom and to the State Examination Commission, in terms of the Leaving Cert paper, there is always questions on the Leaving Cert paper that reflect current trends that's happening in the world, and higher level students and teachers in the classroom would teach that, and higher level students would be expected to know and to be au fait with current trends and to be able to answer and understand figures, you know, in terms of inflation, interest rates, GMP, GDP, and various different kind of economic variables.
Because all the things that have happened in Ireland over the last 10 years, how have they changed how economics is taught?
Well, I suppose in terms of, you know, in resources, I mean, teachers would use, you know, like, for example, myself, I would have a paper day where I would, you know, bring in the Irish Times or maybe the Independent, various different papers, and we'd look at articles central around economics. We'd look at things maybe like Paul Krugman would have to say. We might have a look at, you know, there's loads of resources in terms of, you know, teaching resources, you know, there's programmes, prime time, we would study snapshots of programmes such as prime time, and I listen to economists in general. Also, I mean, in terms of bringing the subject to life, you know, a real life, a practicing economist, you know, in the classroom is brilliant, and an open and closed sort of question and answer session, you know, is a great way of stimulating interest, as opposed to, I mean, I know Dave McMillan has mentioned rote learning, but it's a huge move away in the economics classroom from rote learning. Rote learning now is a very small aspect of teaching in the classroom.
And what about relating the subject to the students' lives?
Well, I suppose that really reflects the kind of student cohort that you have in your school. I mean, the school I work in, students would come, you know, the majority would come from maybe socially challenged backgrounds. So you can, without personalising too much with the student, but a lot of them, you know, things are happening now. For example, trust to child benefit. that would have an effect. You know, you can relate to some students that their families, that would be a huge source of their income coming in. And if you can bring that in and ask them, look, what will happen? How will that affect you? Lots of their parents have lost jobs. In terms of property, some of their families have, you know, bought houses in recent years or in equity, and they understand that. You know, some of them are renting properties. The household tax, for example, bringing that into the classroom, that affects, you know, a lot of family lives.
And what kind of supports are available to economics teachers in order to help them teach the subject?
There's the association that I'm involved in, the Business Studies Teachers Association. We have excellent resources in terms of economics. We have a fantastic new website, and teachers around the country, our members, put up their resources that they use in the classroom. So there's great access to them for new teachers and current teachers of economics. You've got the PDST, which is fantastic, which runs after school in services for teachers for, you know, continuous professional development, and they have excellent resources on their website. There's also, I mean, in terms of sort of individual teachers then themselves in looking at programs, I mean, Professor Leo Ferguson of Harvard University had an excellent program and a DVD called The Ascent of Money. That's a great resource for using.
What's that called again?
The Ascent of Money.
Is that a website?
It's a program that was on BBC, and it's available now in DVD. And also, you know, YouTube is fantastic. You know, the likes of YouTube, looking at interviews with economists. I mean, putting a face on Milton Friedman, you know, putting a face on Karl Marx, putting a face on, you know, on other economists, you know, and economics is very popular now, and it's very popular to be an economist at the moment. And you know, just it's fantastic. Like, you know, the social media is probably, you know, using social media in a positive way for teaching economics is fantastic.
Yeah. If students use examples from their own experience or from daily lives in their Leaving Cert exam, does that come against them, or would that help them in their marking?
I suppose I can't really. It'd be very difficult for me to answer that, because I wouldn't be privy to say how the marking scheme in terms of that kind of thing works, because I don't have that insight, and even if I did, I probably wouldn't be able to say that here. But what I would say is that there is questions that where they have to use applied economics, and if they give a relevant answer that's relevant to in the context of the question, certainly I would say that they would get marks.
What do you make of David's idea of a Young Economist exhibition along the lines of the Young Scientist exhibition?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. There is a competition out there centred around economics, but it's very focused on monetary policy and controlling interest rates, and it's run here by the central bank, but it's driven by the ECB, and the winners get a trip to the European Central Bank in Frankfurt. But I think a very broad, generic, you know, general view of economics in the way the Young Scientist is absolutely, you know, it's a fantastic idea. It'd be warmly received by teachers, and I've no doubt that David will get great support and assistance from any economics teacher in this country. And certainly I think students would be very, very interested.
And finally, Derek, what do your students and what do you find most interesting about studying and teaching economics?
I think economics is fantastic from the point of view that if you go into a classroom and something has happened in the world that affects students' life and they want to bring it up, and then, you know, you can run with that and you can have a great debate around it. You can have, as I said, you can have an adult conversation, and, you know, it's something, as David said earlier, economics is a part of our everyday life, and affects our everyday life. And, you know, it's brilliant when that happens. When that happens in a classroom, you walk in, the student brings up something that happens in the real world, centered around economics that they think affects their life, and they ask your opinion. They might agree, they might disagree, but you have a great discussion around it, and if, you know, creates a great learning environment.
And that was Derek Lynch, who is Honorary Secretary of the Business Studies Teachers Association of Ireland. Well, that's it for this week's Inside Education. You can listen to podcasts of previous programmes on InsideEd.com or on iTunes. You can email us at InsideEducation@DublinCityFM.ie. Thanks to my guests, David McWilliams and Derek Lynch. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.